What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Beck Antonucci. Oh my God, guys, I am so excited to bring you this incredible guest today. I don't even want to tell you about my life just because I'm so excited by this episode. I am sitting here in person with Charles Missy. I am in Sydney and it was just the best, most expansive, opening, fun, funny, incredible conversation. Charles is hilarious. Charles is deep. Charles is gorgeous. I was like, I'm sitting there looking at him like, God, you are a beautiful human being. Said to him, I love your hair. He's like, thanks, I grew up myself. I'm just like, I just love this man so much. But you know that I love a deep and funny human because that's a beautiful reflection of who I am as a person. But Charles speaks about shadow work. And I really wanted to get Charles on the show so that you could hear how you can begin to work with shadow work to support you in your own life. I know that for all of us, we've been on a journey of really learning how to love and tend to parts of ourselves that we have rejected for so long and been maybe so terrified to share with the external world. And I really felt that through bringing Charles on the show, we would be able to open our mind, open our consciousness up to exploring other options, other avenues for healing other than the ones that we have explored before. Dissolving shame, breaking free from our limiting beliefs, shadow work. It's sometimes not the most fun, shiny concept to wrap our minds around in terms of why we would do it versus, oh, I want to go and get the hot body or the hot boyfriend or make more money. Even though doing that can be a challenge, sometimes it's like an easier challenge because it heads us towards the pleasure that we all desire. And I'm really here for us to all attain and be able to be with the pleasure that we all desire. But I really truly feel that if we do not tend to these deep, painful parts of the self, that even if we were to do the work to attain the thing, the hot body, the boyfriend, the business, if we haven't tended to these parts of us, the hurt, harm parts of us, the shadow parts of us, we're really not going to be able to live in embodiment with these pleasures. We're maybe going to reject or sabotage these pleasures. And Charles and I actually dive into that. We dive into how you can work with shadow work to support your life. We dive into why the woman would call in the beautiful partner and sabotage that partnership. And we speak about how we can work with our shadow to support us to live a life that is more peaceful, more in alignment, more grounded, more centered, more anchored, more compassionate, more understanding, so that we can actually be more compassionate, understanding, loving towards ourselves. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and Charles because we would absolutely love to share it ourselves and connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I am sitting here in person in Sydney with someone who is incredibly deep and incredibly funny, which makes you my kind of person. Charles Missy, welcome to Raw, Real and Vulnerable.
Thank you very much, Beck. It's a pleasure to be here. Wow, I'm loving this whole little studio that you've booked in for us to have a chat.
Cool, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I'm glad to be here. Got to get a little bit kind of dressed up for the podcast today.
Yeah, he looks good.
Fix my hair and do my hair a little bit. Here I am. I exist in the physical form. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. Charles has all good sides when he's sitting in his chair. I've got my left side, which is my good side. So I'm sitting on the left. He's in black. I'm in white.
Just yin and the yang.
Yeah, we just knew to do this today.
We're just encapsulating the perfect balance of equilibrium within the collective consciousness of the universe.
Oh, I'm feeling so much more feminine just knowing that he's wearing black. But for anyone who is in my world that doesn't know who Charles Missy is, who is Charles Missy and what is it that you do in the world?
Who is Charles Missy?
Yeah, I love to start with a deep question.
It's an interesting question to answer because I feel like there's going to be so many people that are going to have their own depiction or version of you that they've constructed, especially if they observe you on social media. And more recently, my social media has kind of grown. And as it grows, there's more people are watching you and observing you and therefore more people creating their own version of you. And so if I was just to answer it quite simply, I'm just a random guy in this floating rock in space. I'm part of the organized ape community, and that's assigned me the name of Charles. But I guess I'm someone who is very curious of life and what this is that we're experiencing. I have a deep passion to help people, and I love sharing experiences with people. And I also love getting into the nitty-gritty of things as well. I've got a side of me that loves going deep and, you know, who isn't afraid to see some pretty gnarly things, whether in the external or within myself. I'm someone who's still learning and evolving. I still feel like I'm a baby in this world that I work in. So definitely have a long way to go towards the vision that I see of myself. So yeah, that's a bit of a summary. I don't really answer that question too much, so I'm trying to...
I literally asked that question for my own personal benefit because I love to see how guests answer.
Okay.
Sometimes they're like, who am I?
Yeah.
And then other people go straight into what it is that they do.
Right.
And I just love, I'm just so curious about people's responses. Yeah. But to follow that up, what is it that you do in the world?
So I work as a shadow work practitioner. That's what I do when working with clients. People often see me for different things that they're struggling with, whether it's self-confidence issues, communication issues, anger issues, struggling to know what they're doing in life, their purpose in life, experiencing a lot of distress. So addictions, the whole list of things that someone could be struggling with internally within themselves or within their interpersonal relationships. So I focus on helping people with that. I do that in a community. I've got an online community where we facilitate workshops and programs and one-on-one coaching as well. I also organize retreats, tribal retreats, which have been really fun. It's kind of a cool way to balance out the process of healing and connection and bringing people back to themselves and connecting with others in a fun slash deep and meaningful way. So it's a good balance the way I like to keep it. And yeah, I also play the drums. So I'm a part of a group called Bondi Sunset Music, one of the co-founders. And we get together and create some good vibes on the beach and just have fun. So those are some things that I do and ways in which that are all kind of aligned in my values, helping people, just trying to, you know, make this world a bit better than what it was when I left in my own kind of creative way.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. You're only 32. Your work is shadow work. You're a shadow work practitioner. I'm assuming you went on your own personal journey. You don't just wake up at, I don't know what age you found it, like 25, I'm going to do some shadow work today. Like what? How did that come about?
Well, I was just bored as fuck one day and I'm like, all right, I'll just do this little course that takes one day and then boom, I'm a shadow work practitioner.
Amazing. Did you become an overnight Instagram millionaire too?
You know, exactly. I saw this rise in the spiritual community online. I was like, oh, this will give me a good sense of validation and a sense of purpose and meaning in other people's lives to fill some kind of void in my own. So yeah, definitely went on my own journey, you know, the classic sort of story. It's a depressed person struggling with loneliness and low self-confidence and really held on to that for a long time.
Yes.
But I was actually very grateful to see that for me anyway, quite early in my life. So I started making some pretty big changes in the way I thought about things in my internal landscape quite young, in my early 20s. And yeah, I guess there was just a large part of me that's very anti-conforming and anti-authority.
That's why I love him.
Yeah. and large part, I can thank my dad for that part, because a lot of that was projecting, that I was projecting towards society and the structures that weren't aligned with me was really a you know, internal relationship with my father that I was projecting.
So your father was very controlling of you?
No, he just wasn't there for me. So there was a lot of anger and kind of resentment towards him that I would, you know, unconsciously project towards society and, you know, structure and order and all these things that younger me was like, fuck that. So that part of me really motivated me to question things and not just go with the herd and go and travel to random fucking places that the Australian government would say, you know, don't travel to, would go against the grain in ways that actually served me very well. So it wasn't so much an anti-authority, like I'm going to go commit crime. It was an anti-authority, like I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. You know, I'm not going to fucking... I'm not going to go to some party and feel like I got to drink alcohol because everyone else is drinking alcohol. Fuck you guys. Like, I felt like I was using it in a way that actually served me very well.
Yeah.
And that kind of motivated me to just question things and go on my own journey. And then here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for anyone listening right now that is like, okay, shadow work, and it's taken you on your journey, and I'm sure they'll see you from Instagram and say that you've achieved some amount of success in their eyes. Can you explain to the listener what shadow work actually is so they have some concept and understanding about why they would be open and curious to shadow work?
Right. Well, we're only consciously aware of a certain amount of ourselves mm-hmm. in our general day-to-day lives, largely, you know, the way in which we conduct our behaviors, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our motivations is unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. It just means that there's a lot of parts of us working behind the scenes, very similar to the people that are working with the sound and the video here mm-hmm. to ensure that there's some kind of results mm-hmm. and holding the space mm-hmm. Of this podcast today so that we can have this chat and then eventually share this content on social media. There's mm-hmm. things working behind the scenes that as we're talking now, we don't really need to be consciously aware of. We don't need to be consciously aware of the cameras and the editing and mm-hmm. all this sort of shit. I mean, you might need to be to a degree.
I'm like, make sure I look good.
yeah, exactly. There's a conscious part of you kind of observing your appearance, right?
Yeah.
Making sure you look good for the podcast. But basically, there's just parts of us that have different jobs, different roles
yes.
that sit largely out of the scope of our conscious awareness. Mm-hmm. And they're not bad parts of us. But sometimes the jobs that they have and the roles that they have
mm-hmm.
are coming from a place that was valuable for a past version of us
mm-hmm.
to be able to navigate and deal with the situation that we're in our past.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are not in the past at mm-hmm. that time. Now we're in a time and place where the value of that role that part of us does is kind of like, hey, you know, you don't need to do that job anymore. You mm-hmm. can go take a holiday and go to Bali, go sip some pina coladas mm-hmm. or go channel that energy that you're using in that specific role that you have now towards something like creativity, fun, joy, expression, mm-hmm. taking action on something. So shadow work is going to be beneficial for people that are struggling in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Logically, they know that it doesn't serve them, but they're still performing certain behaviors.
Yes.
They're still feeling a certain way. They're still reacting a certain way, whatever mm-hmm. the surface layer manifestation is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're curious to understand what part of them is the driving force of that, where mm-hmm. it comes from and why.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the shadow work process, they can go through an experience where they can unburden
mm-hmm.
that part of them from that role. They can mm-hmm. negotiate and consult with that part of them to see what its needs are in order for it to not do that job anymore
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, they can build a connection to that part of them. They can better navigate that part of them whenever it comes up in a situation where generally they'd lose control of it and it would just take full control of their physical vessels. Like, okay, here we go. The part of me is now sabotaging my life and, you know, I got no idea why it's doing it, what it's trying to achieve and what its needs are. So shadow work just bridges a gap between the unconscious parts of ourselves. It shines a light on the darkness. It illuminates what has previously been concealed and hidden and offers a space for these parts of us to be integrated, accepted, unburdened, and their energy not being dismissed and shut down and you're bad, go piss off. But rather their energy being something that we can use towards something else that serves us.
Yeah, I love that so much. And what's coming up for me is a conversation I've been having with a lot of women that I'm working with, and they're now embodying stronger standards, better boundaries, dating in alignment with their values, and then they'll attract in this beautiful man that's treating them really well, and then all of these behaviors are coming up for them where they want to sabotage, push him away, cut him off, judge every single thing that he's doing, trying to question his integrity. Is he lying to me? Could we work with shadow work to support us in that experience?
Of course, yeah. So perhaps these clients, yeah, they're observing themselves doing this and they're going, fuck, you know, why am I sabotaging? This is such a beautiful man.
Yes.
But when they're in these moments where they're noticing this really hypercritical part coming out and judging him, or this skeptical part, I don't know if he's being genuine here, or this part that's creating distance and creating an outcome where that they may not be together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What shadow work can give you is the opportunity to connect directly with those parts of you
mm-hmm.
and engage in a dialogue with them
mm-hmm.
so that they can give you the information as to why they're coming up, what are they feeling, how they're trying to protect you in some mm-hmm. kind of way. Just getting more information so that you, as the observer, won't be so ashamed of these parts or judgmental of these parts, because sometimes these parts can come out and people can respond with like, ah, fuck, I'm never going to be in a healthy relationship ever because of these bloody parts of me that are sabotaging all the time.
Yes.
Ah. So rather that information can bring more compassion and lightness to the system, less inner conflict and trying to fight these parts of you or trying to logically bypass their motivations, their feelings and desires by, you know, he's fine, he's safe, you know, you can be in a healthy, safe relationship. Those parts of you are like, I don't believe that shit, you know. Yes. So what it can give people is the ability to connect to these parts and, like I said, unburden them from the role of being such a critic or being so skeptical and scared of this man or of creating distance or being emotionally blocked and becoming unavailable. These are all jobs, and all these jobs require energy.
Yes.
Blocking yourself off requires energy. Being distant requires energy. Criticizing him requires energy. Yes. It all requires energy in the system. And it's all to protect you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just spend energy for nothing. Just like, I'm just going to burn a whole bunch of energy right now for no fucking reason.
I'm
just
going to totally fuck my life up for fun.
It doesn't happen. There's always some underlying reason why, a positive intention behind it. And then what we can do is then direct that energy towards other things or negotiate with these parts and perhaps see if they're willing to give you a bit more space where they're like, okay, look, I won't criticize him as much, but all I need you to do is just connect with me and reassure me that, like, his behaviors aren't manipulative and he's, like, trying to lie to you because of, remember that other guy hurt you and he fucked around and he was, like, not being authentic?
Mm-hmm.
So just having that type of relationship with yourself where it's like, yeah, cool, I get you. I'll just a bit more space and then there's a bit of progress that you can make.
So I love that. And I work with a lot of high-performing women. And high performance can often come with a lot of self-criticism. So once they've started to do this work and they have this awareness of what they're doing, I know that you spoke about compassion and understanding for that part of ourselves, but then what comes up is I actually don't have compassion for this part of me. I'm mad. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm mad at myself. I'm angry. Why am I doing this? And there's just so much more rejection and bitterness at the self for engaging in these behaviors.
Mm.
How do we access compassion and understanding for these parts when we don't authentically feel compassionate and understanding, we're genuinely mad and frustrated with ourselves?
Right, yeah, good question. So we got different parts of us. We have parts of us that are protecting us. So, for example, you may have a part of you that's critical of you and it motivates you to be a higher achiever.
Mm-hmm.
So what it would do is it will analyze all your performance, your outcomes, your results, and it will be there to constantly criticize it as a way to motivate you to achieve better so that you can be more accepted and loved by people around you, by society, more importantly, by yourself, by another part of you.
No, I just want everyone else around me to like me. I don't care about me liking me. Just like my Instagram, please.
Like this video now. So that's that part of you.
Yes.
Now, what we can do when we start going on this healing journey, we start hearing things like, self-compassion is the way forward and love and light and have positive thoughts only and positive vibes and all this sort of shit, right?
Yes.
What can happen is we then develop another part of us.
Yes.
Which criticizes us for criticizing ourselves.
Yes.
And that has another positive intentions behind it because it's there going, you're judging yourself too much. I'm getting mad at you because if you keep judging yourself so much, you're going to push yourself to achieve so much and you're going to burn yourself out and get sick. Stop doing it. I'm sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. We got to be healthy and think about holistic lifestyle and all this sort of shit, right? So then we develop this other part of us.
Yeah.
Now, that part of us, that may be the part that logically knows you should be compassionate towards yourself, but it doesn't feel compassionate towards yourself because it's really the same part as the critical part, just expressing different type of language.
Mm-hmm.
One part of you can criticize you for your performance with your career.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of you is criticizing you for how much self-love you have, right? So it's just different language, but it's the same energy behind it. So this is when this process becomes layered.
Mm-hmm.
There's layers to it. Right. When I'm working with clients, what we're doing is we're becoming aware of the map of the different parts of them, how they all interact with each other, the energy behind them, and just gradually flowing through this map. What was previously just an uncharted territory, it was just within the shadow, it was concealed, and we're just shining a light on more of it bit by bit and unburdening parts of the system bit by bit. So You have to work with your spiritual, healing, judgmental part the same way that you work with your inner critic of your career, performance and achievements part as well. It's the exact same process.
Yeah.
And notice how I'm saying you have to work with your spiritual, judgmental part, yes. whatever it is, right?
Yes.
That means that that spiritual, critical, judgmental part of how much self-love you have isn't actually yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of you that you created to probably motivate you to change your life mm-hmm. and be more loving and accepting, mm-hmm. probably influenced by the external environment mm-hmm. just as much as the high achieving part of you was, because mm-hmm. now it's all about things we're seeing on social media and mm-hmm. love yourself and all this, which isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same way that achieving isn't a bad thing and your career isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Each thing gets us to where we're going. But mm-hmm. if it's getting too much and it's just creating more war with yourself mm-hmm. and you feel like you're butting heads with these two different mm-hmm. parts of you, you're probably going to have to go in there and from an energy of connectedness, creativity,
yes.
compassion,
yes.
and work with these parts equally the same, because none of them are good, none of them are bad. They're yes. both exactly the same.
Yes. And what I loved, you spoke about it being a process, not like, oh, I sign up to Charles's course next Friday. I start working with some shadow work over the weekend. By Monday, I'm all good. And right. then I'm back. Like, life is amazing.
Mm.
I work with women who typically they feel very insecure to be themselves in the world. There's something about them that they're deeply afraid that if society was to find out that the rest of the world would reject them.
Mm.
I support women to dissolve shame. I speak about many taboo topics on the internet, including sexual health and wellness, STIs and the herpes virus.
Mm.
And women have tried a lot of things to feel better about themselves, and almost like a weighing scale of, if I make myself so good, when someone is to eventually find out about this really bad thing about me, maybe I've balanced it enough for that person to accept me. How could this woman work with shadow work to support herself in creating space for acceptance around something so stigmatized in her life?
Mm, good question. So the way I would approach something like that is to invite these women, these people, to get curious as to what their relationship from the perspective of different parts of them is like with this stigma, this thing, whether it be a body image, having an STI, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And then what they can discover with that is understanding the different parts of them that have all built protective walls and layers around the vulnerable part of them, which may be the STI, mm-hmm. let's say, for example, the part of them that is, I have an STI, a lot of protective walls around that.
Mm.
Now, some of those protective walls can be skepticism of others.
Mm.
Is this person going to judge me for it? Another part of the protective system can be the shame.
Mm.
Okay, the part of them that shames them.
Mm-hmm.
Shames the other part of them.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of it can be a distrust that, hey, look, if we let these walls down, it's not going to be a good outcome. Mm-hmm. We're going to get hurt.
Yes.
And I don't want that vulnerable part of me over there to get hurt.
Yes.
So my job is to just hold this wall.
Yes.
You may have another part that just kind of lives in denial about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of denies the reality of the stigma,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's just a way to block it out.
I was 25 when it happened. I went on an MDMA bender for 2 years. So I went through the denial process.
Yeah, right. Wow. So, yeah. So you know, that part of you that went on the MDMA bender, that she had a job.
Yeah.
She had a job to dissociate from
yeah.
that reality there, that it was too overwhelming for yes. you to process and accept at that time. So
yeah.
every single person is going to have their own formation of guards, moats, walls, gates, trenches that are all there that disconnect yourself
mm-hmm.
to that more vulnerable part of you there. Mm. So then that leaves a big gap where that part there hasn't been retrieved. It's remained exiled. It doesn't have a connection in order for it to be reparented or guided mm. and loved and, you know, all of this sort of stuff that we know, right?
Yeah.
So it's important for anyone who's listening that's struggling with this, you have to work with the protective layers first.
Mm.
You have to approach the moat. You have to approach the trench. You have to approach the block. You have to mm-hmm. approach the blank. You have to approach the dissociation. You have to yes. approach the guard. You have to approach all these parts and consult with them.
Yes.
Connect with them.
Yeah.
Ask them why they're there, why they're doing what they're doing, yeah. what they'd prefer to be doing instead. Yeah. Is it okay if you can pass them? If it's not okay, you have to honor the process and yes. not try and bypass all those protective layers yeah. and try and get straight to the vulnerable part of you and be like, you're worthy, you're good enough, done, bye. Like
yeah.
you got to earn your stripes and go through the process yeah. there. Because what you'll find is that all these parts of you there, let's say the shaming part,
yes.
there's a part shaming you, they have a job and they value shaming you.
Yes.
There's a value that for anything that we hold shame towards, there's a value that we have of keeping that guard there,
mm-hmm.
inflicting that shame on us mm-hmm. as a form of protecting ourselves. Because if we were to not hold shame of it, we'd mm-hmm. be more open about it. And mm-hmm. if we are to be more open about it, well, we may get judged and criticized mm-hmm. for it again. And then that's going to be painful. So people that are struggling with a lot of shame, essentially, you're going to have to come to the realization at some point that it's self-inflicted. And I don't say that in a way to invoke shame in you
mm-hmm.
for doing it to yourself,
mm-hmm.
but rather just the curiosity to approach these parts of you in a way where you can work with them. You can negotiate with them. You can gradually start to give them a break every now and again and send a couple of these protective layers off on holiday mm. and create a bit of space and go, you know, you don't have to do that job anymore, and go through that process of unburdening over time to then reach that point where you can connect to that more vulnerable part of you
yes.
and accept it.
Mm, so powerful. And I feel for anyone listening right now, we're really hearing the value of this work and shadow work. I have a little beef. I love the coaching industry, but I have a little beef with it. I'm like, you're talking about shadow work. I'm talking about dissolving shame. And then there's lots of like shiny things on Instagram that can take people's attention, like get the boyfriend or make $1 million on Instagram or blow up your social media or get all the views. Do you find that frustrating that people really need and are going to benefit so intensely from shadow work or from dissolving this deep pain and this deep shame, but the shiny objects can kind of distract people from doing what's really important?
I used to get frustrated yeah. at it. I think that was my kind of anti-authority part.
I'm going to give you a little bit more context. Like
yeah,
my ex-boyfriend once was like, don't do what you're doing and just teach women how to make money in their coaching business. And I was like, I could do that, but God has not told me that that is my job.
Right.
This one's my job. And that one would be like a fast track to more success.
Right.
But that's not my purpose. So if I told a woman on the internet, pay me and I can teach you how to make money, the sale is so quick.
Mm.
Whereas when a woman is going through the pain, the shame, she's approaching me every day, but the brave ones lean in.
Mm.
And so that's my frustration of like, oh, I'm not speaking to their ego, I'm speaking to their pain.
Right. Okay. So the frustration for you is how motivated a lot of people are to focus on money as opposed to helping people.
Yeah.
Or like kind of cars and things like that.
Or the woman that's so afraid to really do the work.
Right.
When I'm speaking, when the pain is just so great. Whereas if it's like, pay me 10 grand, I'll teach you how to make 100.
Right. Okay. So there's frustration there. And I understand that because
yeah.
you know, I connect with a lot of people that are curious about this sort
yes.
of work, and I have to navigate the objections and the blocks that people have to do this work. So,
because who wakes up one day and is like, oh, I want to do shadow work?
Yeah, look, it can be, I'm not going to deny that, you know, I don't get frustrated sometimes and I'm like, ah, come on, like, you know, this is something that's really going to help you and change your life, etc. I just think that when you're on a path of helping people
yes.
and, you know, trying to do something positive, there's going to be a lot of frustrations and,
yeah.
and we can say the same thing for someone who's out there trying to fight poverty in the world
yes.
or trying to help starving children or trying to fight against injustices that I had now in war crimes around the world where kids are getting blown to bits. Like every single person that's out there doing something to help people
yes.
are going to be faced with a lot of roadblocks,
yes.
a lot of walls, a lot of people that just don't value the need for helping people or helping themselves, mm-hmm. in this case, as much. And that can be a bit disheartening,
mm.
you know, sometimes.
Because I'm like, if you put up a course teaching people how to get views on their videos and make viral funny videos,
yeah, yeah.
how many people would sign up to that tomorrow?
I know.
And
that's
on
true.
The same day yeah. release a shadow work course, and the comparison, that's my frustration, where
yeah.
I'm like, the views and the, like, it's going to feel nice for a moment,
mm.
but not sustainable, like the shadow work is actually going to transform.
It's like people have a problem and they want their problem solved.
Yes.
It's just the basics of marketing.
Yes.
And I think what I'm coming to realize is when it comes to helping people with these sort of issues that we're talking about today, it makes a lot of logical sense going, you're struggling with your shadow, you're struggling with anxiety and problems. Come do this program. It will help you. It will solve your problem, right? You'll get the tools and understanding. You'll unburden your system from holding so much shame. You'll free up so much more energy for you to just be yourself. One plus one equals two, right? Yep. But the way that the human mind works is it makes decisions based on emotion rather than logic, majority of the time, especially when it comes to spending money on things. So therefore, what I've come to realize is I can't bypass that and just expect people to make logical, rational decisions that if they invest in their mental health and well-being and spiritual development, that it's going to equate to them living a better life and them just like, yeah, cool, get it. Like people generally going to make more of a decision when they've got a significant problem in their life. Generally, we're going to work with people that have reached some kind of breaking point or rock bottom where it places enough value for them to go, yeah, shit, I got to sort out my inner world. Or we just have to work on better marketing and sales and how we can communicate solving the specific problems that people have in a way that allows them to be less guarded, more open, and see more value in doing it. And that can be quite hard because then we got to kind of hone in and get really specific with what a problem is. When what we do, we're just coaches, we're healers. Someone can come with more or less anything, and the same tools that we use can help them. I can work with someone that is going through a relationship breakup, someone who's got an addiction. I can work with someone who's got anger problems. I can work with someone who's got communication issues, confidence. And I just have a chat with them and they're all going to leave feeling better and more understanding by the end of it. You know, I don't want to just go, I only work with these kind of people. And it's just like, fuck. But it's just, it's part of running a business where you're trying to help people. It's going to be frustrating in a way.
Yeah. And a part of your medicine is humor.
Correct.
That's why I love you so much. It's like my favorite thing. How did you know that part of your medicine was humor and why do you teach through humor?
Well, humor's always been a part of my medicine before I went on this journey.
Yeah.
So it's always been a part of my essence, even since I was a child.
Yes.
So it wasn't something that I'm just like, be funny now. Like it was always there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I grew up playing a lot with toys and every toy would have its own voice and character. So I'm already hopping into different archetypes and embodying different parts of myself through an external object of a toy, right?
Yeah.
So I grew up playing, you know, a lot of toys. Very blessed in my childhood to have so many cousins and friends where, well, what does a child do? They want to be a fucking superhero. They want to be a warrior. They want to be a wizard. They're exploring different parts of themselves through play, and play is so important for connecting and learning. Animals do it. Why do puppies and animals, they want to play all the time? Because it's a part of their development. So I was very grateful that I got to do that myself on my own, but also with beautiful people around me, friends, family, my sisters. So it's always been a part of my essence. And I think through my teenage years, it was also there. I was very blessed to have such awesome mates that I grew up with. Just big fucking characters.
Yeah.
People that, like, very non-politically correct, would say anything.
Oh, I love these kind of people.
Very, very extreme in the ways in which they would go about to create a laugh.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like my uncles.
Yeah. Like, I grew up in a school where you'd rock up at lunch or recess or whatever, and it was just on. Like people, like it was like borderline, if not was, forms of bullying. Like certain people definitely would have left that experience going,
I'm traumatized.
I definitely got traumatized and bullied from that for sure. But to the ones that didn't experience it in that way, I guess felt safe to criticize each other in that way and express our inner cunt towards each other. It was a very expansive experience where you really had to have a strong ego and sense of self to cop it. So I grew up in a school like that as well, which is a big part of me why I like to kind of poke fun at different things. I love that part of me. So that's another reason. And I grew up watching a lot of Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler, those sort of characters, those sort of people. And, you know, I think once I got into doing this whole work with healing, with my close mates, we would always joke around about our shadow sides.
Mm-hmm.
We'd make a joke and it was just funny. It was just hilarious. It was just ridiculous. We got these parts of us there that are fucking around and doing different things. It's just funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as I got on social media, I studied film and TV as well after school and I did drama at school too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, fuck, this spirituality space is so fucking serious.
Yes.
Why is it serious?
Yeah.
Why is everyone so serious about it? Like, I've been laughing about it for the whole fucking, all these years of my life. It's funny, isn't it? So I just like, I don't know, I just felt cool. I get creative. I get an idea. I laugh at it myself. I'm just pissing. And that's funny. I just like, just laugh at it. And I'm like, that'll be a funny fucking video.
Yeah.
And just write it down. And I'm like, all right, let's fucking create it. Get some scenes going. Put it out there. And it got great feedback. And I'd say those videos are the main reason why I've been able to grow the online community. Like, yeah, I share content that has a depth and helps people. But, you know, majority of the time people are on social media to just get a little bit of entertainment. And, you know, I understand that. I understand your parts of you that want that. I don't shame them. It's fine. I have the same fucking parts of me too.
I love a good social media scroll into funny videos.
We all do.
It's my favorite thing.
It's the new age cigarette break.
I'm like watching some guy do a silly salmon off a bridge in France and I'm like wetting my pants off. I'm like, why am I doing this? But this is so good.
It's just whatever. It's a way that we're just connecting with each other in this new time, and it's there and that's it. It's just a creative platform and I'm fucking grateful for it. I've been able to express myself to an online platform without needing to go through all the shit that I thought I would have had to have gone through when I studied film and TV, where it's like, oh, got to go through Channel 7, Channel 9, like, you know, I don't want to fucking be on, like, I hated watching those channels a lot of the time. Like, it didn't resonate. I'm like, ugh.
Yes.
Like, are they even going to let my content on there?
No, they're not.
The sort of shit that I have here, you know? So YouTube, social media, great way to get yourself out there and express yourself in a way that isn't overly censored at the moment until it does, those bastards.
How have you not become addicted to the validation, the views, the likes, the comments? How have you gone through that process?
I think accepting that I have a part of me that likes it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's why we're all on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not try and deny that there isn't a part of us that goes on there and doesn't slightly think about how many likes that post got and whatever. It's normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Like, we have more primitive parts of ourselves that care more about being approved and accepted by society, and all this sort of shit, get a bit sensitive over people judging us. I accept all those parts of me. They're all there. So I'm like, all right, they're there. I may as well use them for something that serves me. I'm not going to pretend I don't have them. I have them. It's fine. I've got a part of me that cares about how many likes a post gets. And great. I'm fucking grateful he cares, because him caring about that is motivating me to make better content, to make people laugh more, to reach more people, to grow my business, to connect it so that I can be on podcasts like this and get invited to events and shit. That's fucking cool.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, keep doing that. But the way in which, I guess, answers your question more clearly is not to become enmeshed in that part of me. Like, that part of me isn't me. Because I know there's going to be a day where I may want to create more space from that part of me. And if I'm completely enmeshed and attached to that part of me, and that part of me is who I am, that's the only way that I get validation or whatever, that's when it can get a little bit dangerous, right?
Did you always accept this part to begin with, where you're like, I must transcend this part of me that likes my views and comments?
Yeah. I used to hate social media.
Okay.
Fucking hated it.
Yeah.
I was working in the coaching space for a few years before I even got a social media. And people would always tell me, you got to make videos. I only recently got on YouTube. It's been a few months. Oh, you got to get on YouTube. There's always the resistance there. It was like, nah, fuck social media, man's the devil. It's all toxic and everyone's there just fucking looking for validation. Look at my abs and whatever, right? And it was obviously something behind that.
Yeah.
It was a fear of being seen and someone criticizing what I had to say and being seen as stupid and not knowing what I'm talking about. That's what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is just a tool. Mm-hmm. So eventually it came to a point where it just clicked for me. I'm like, come on, bro. If you want to achieve your goals and kind of pursue this vision that you have, you got to use the tools around you. That's it. It's fine. Just pick up the fucking hammer and start hammering the nails in and start learning how to do it. It's fine. And, you know, as time went on, at first you're posting content and no one gives a fuck about what you're saying. It's just like, you know, you got your loyal fans, your friends and family going, yay, woo, we're never going to buy your shit. Okay. And then just moves on. But just stay consistent. I just got consistent. Now it's just a habit.
Yeah.
Like I brought my camera with me, and after this I'm going to find a nice spot and make a video, and I'm dressed up. I'm like, all right, may as well make the fucking most of it. I'm in a different scenery, a bit more of an urban environment. Just do it. Just say something and just fucking put it out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had to work with, I think when a couple of my videos started going viral, that's when I'm like, oof, okay. That was a big whiff of fucking dopamine. I really felt that. It was like, I'm not used to getting that much attention on a post. It was a bit, woo. How do I do that again? You know?
Yes.
So, you know, I acknowledge that part of me there and I observe it. I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
What can I do? It's there. Yeah. I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt the feeling. I'm not going to try and, no, don't feel pleasure now. Like, it just, that's it. I felt it. It was nice.
Yeah.
You put in a lot of fucking hard work.
Yeah.
You put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of creativity. You had to work through a lot of blocks to get to this point to enjoy it. You fucking deserve it. You fucking deserve it. Great. And that's it. I'll let you enjoy it.
Yes.
I'm not going to shame you for enjoying it.
Yes.
It's like you were saying before, your parents didn't let you eat fucking Fruit Loops and shit.
Yeah.
Like, just let the kid enjoy the fucking experience of Fruit Loops, you know? And it doesn't have to be such a fucking, there's boundaries, I get it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be such a, ah, oh, there's a devil in a plate. You know what I mean?
And when you were breaking through that block of being seen and you're showing up online, did it come with criticism too? And how did you navigate that?
It came more criticism when I started going more viral.
Because that's when women engage with me, their biggest fear about being their authentic self and doing something outside of the norm and really showing up, whether it's a podcast, a business, whatever it is that they desire to do, they're like, one piece of negative feedback is just going to rock me and I'm going to go straight back into my turtle shell.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was obviously the part of me that was scared of saying something wrong or dumb or something like that, and he was a bit more conservative what he would post out. Now, you know, the sort of stuff I'm talking about like psychological concepts and things like
that. Yeah, I can really see you broken through this fear.
I know. I'm talking about some pretty deep things, you know. And so I'm just like really just like, yeah, that's my fucking opinion on that. But yeah, initially I was more conservative on what I would talk about and share. Definitely wouldn't share very controversial things and call things out and things like that. Wouldn't really talk about global issues as much and things like that. Once I kind of realized that what judgment is, once I acknowledged my own judgmental part of me and understood where he's coming from, what his positive intentions are, what his job is, he's trying to motivate me to become better. He observes things that he doesn't accept about me. He rejects certain things about me so that I can become better. He's not always doing it in a way to help me get towards what I think is better for me, but what he thinks is better for him, that part. But I can understand the intention, right? Once I could accept that part of me, it was a lot easier to understand the judgmental parts of others, right? They're generally going to judge something that they're scared of, that they haven't accepted within themselves, that they don't accept within me. They're trying to motivate me to be better. Whatever the fucking reason is, there's always some thing there that it's may or may not be about me. Some people's judgments, I might read it, listen to it and go, is there any truth behind that? No, fuck, that's just some bullshit. But sometimes it's like, yeah, true, yeah, maybe I could have said it a bit better or whatever. So part of me will take it on board, but mostly a large part just can't be bothered. There's a lot of comments and I'm like, whatever, there it is. Take it, just do what you want with the piece of content. So I think that made it a lot easier. The first time I really practiced that, because it takes practice, I put up a post during COVID where I basically said, it was during like that division. Are you vaccinated or unvaccinated? Huge division going on in the collective. I was working with a lot of clients that are fucking breaking down their family. families rejecting them, or people that have had a vaccine injury, COVID nurses that are like worried about people not getting vaccinated enough, whatever. Just like all areas of the spectrum. Yes. I had my own views, but the purpose of the post wasn't to tell people what to do.
Yes.
It's not my job to tell someone what to fucking put in their body or not. So I just put up a post saying, I still love you, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Because that's how I genuinely felt towards all my friends and family. I didn't hate anyone based on what they did.
Yeah.
No matter what their reason was.
Yes.
Some of the people didn't want to get vaccinated. Some of the reasons was a bit, oh, okay, that's a bit intense there, you know. But some people's reasons for getting vaccinated was a bit like, yeah, come on, that doesn't sit well with me either. But whatever. I accept whatever the fuck you want to do. I put up that post and it went viral.
Yes.
And, you know. Usually things go viral because it's a bit controversial.
Yes.
You get a lot of people commenting that they like it, a lot of people commenting that they don't like it. And a lot of people there were commenting that they didn't like it, calling me murdering people. This post is going to create more deaths and you shouldn't make it acceptable for people to get vaccinated, or you should be telling people that they must get vaccinated. Like, it was just like, and I'm just reading all these ad hominem attacks, just personal attacks at me. Just going through them, like, yeah, that person's just a bit scared. That person just wants everyone to be safe. That person is just a bored fuckwit on their phone. you know, whatever. So that was just kind of practice.
Yes.
And after that, I really kind of broke through that fear and I was like, all right, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right. It's fine. And then since then, I've just been a bit more outspoken. Recent things I was getting judged by, I put up a post honoring the deaths of the children of Gaza. Mm. Whatever the fucking numbers are. Some people, no, it's this number, it's that number, that's numbers a lie, whatever. There's too many kids dying in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And I disapprove of it. I don't agree with it. It makes me sick to my stomach. I don't feel like it's right. And here's a post expressing that.
Yes.
To honor their deaths.
Yes.
Funnily enough, some people are going to take offense to it because it's a very divisive topic. Yes. And, you shouldn't be criticizing, blah, blah, blah. Like, blame Hamas, all this. It's like, brother, I'm just honoring the deaths of some fucking children. Like, just take a moment to accept that or, like, so, you know, you're going to get judged for fucking anything.
Yes.
You post up anything, you're going to get fucking judged for it. And for anyone who's got that limitation, that fear there, you know, you're obviously going to have to accept your own judgmental part so you can understand other people's more.
Yes.
But fuck it. Just fucking share your message to the world and just have a bit of fun. It's a fucking app.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's a fucking app. Instagram started just by sharing photos and editing photos. Oh, wow, you can put a filter on a photo. This is cool. Now it's just like this whole
thing. It's life.
Thing.
Instagram is life.
It's fucking life. It's like,
the real world does not exist.
It's like, man, just have a bit of fun with it. Share your message. Say whatever you want. It's as long as you're not, whatever, like, abusing people. Like, but yeah, just have a bit of fun with it. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. Charles, you're so great. I have absolutely loved sitting here with you today. I always ask guests one final question.
Okay. Here you ready? We go.
What does it mean uniquely to you to be raw, real, and vulnerable in your own life?
I think it means not enmeshing myself and showing up in the world as only kind of one version of myself, but rather giving a space to all the different parts of me to express themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. So whether it be my inner cunt, the playful part of me, the kind of more serious part of me, the one that wants to go deep, the one that wants to help people, the one that can't give a fuck about people, like, letting all these parts of me have their space, their time, the opportunity for them to show up, and also allowing them to be seen by others and not be afraid of them being seen.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You're so brilliant. I have loved spending and sharing this time with you. Thank you for driving in. And if any woman in my world would love to get all up in yours, where do we find you?
Okay, well, to all you lovely ladies out there, first of all, I just want to say a big thank you for tuning in and listening to me ramble on for the last hour or so. Also want to say thank you to Beck for having me on your wonderful podcast. You've been such a glorious host.
Thank you.
You know, you never know what you're going to get when you go into someone's podcast, but you've really created a beautiful space to explore, like, I really feel like I've had the opportunity to really let out a lot of parts of me here. So you've done that very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if anyone who's interested to see me pop up more on your feed, you can check me out on Instagram. I'm basically on all the fucking social medias, but just type in my name, Charles Missy. My last name is MYSSY. You've got a YouTube channel. I make longer form, more educational content. Instagram is where you're going to find a bit more of the kind of funny stuff with a mix of a blend. For those of you who are interested in exploring a bit more of my work, I run an inner child workshop once a month. I run that. I have a couple of like free masterclasses where you can show up and just kind of break down the process of healing. I've got a 12-week shadow integration program. So if anyone is interested in shadow work, that begins May 21st. I've got a retreat coming up in New South Wales, June 28th to the 30th in the beautiful Hunter Valley, 3-day retreat. And I'm in Bondi and I play drums there almost every week down at the north side of the beach from about 4 o'clock onwards. You can always come and say
every day.
No, every Sunday.
Every Sunday. A real commitment.
Definitely not every day. Fuck that. People can go find enjoyment in other areas of their life.
But thank you so much for being here with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.